The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, chapter 48. Directions to the performing extraordinary prayer. What direction may be given to the admirable and successful performance of this solemn duty? I come now to close my discourse on this point in answering this last question. A serious, necessary one it is, for indeed it is an edged tool of excellent use, but dangerous in his hand that knows not how to use it. Like some physic, if it does not purge, it poisons. In this same fat soil where the corn is best, the weeds are rankest. Neither grace nor sin grow to such a height anywhere as in those that converse much with this solemn ordinance. Therefore, as we are who are in a ship upon a swift stream, had need the more look to the steerage of it, because they will be either carried rapidly to their port or be wrecked. So have they reason to be very careful in the management of this service. The issue whereof cannot be ordinary, because the duty is extraordinary. Now, the counsel to be given must be divided into three general heads. Something should be directed as preparatory to this undertaking, something to be observed in its performance, and also after the dispatch of it. The city cannot be safe unless the whole line be kept. It is all one whether the enemy breaks in at the front, flank, or rear of an army. First, some preparatory direction before the duty. Now, there is a double preparation requisite, habitual and actual. There is a remote and habitual preparation of great use to the performance of this solemn duty, and it lies in this. To look, Christian, that thou showest a conscientious care in thy daily walking and the constant exercise of this duty in thy ordinary daily offices of devotion, or else thou art likely to make but bad work when thou comest to exchange in the extraordinary. First, thy neglect in the ordinary duty will exceedingly indispose thee for extraordinary. In extraordinary prayer, the soul is to be put on her full speed, all its powers to be strained to their utmost ability, and to continue long in the work. Is he fit for so swift and long a race, whose soul is not kept in breach by the daily exercise of ordinary prayer, but lets his graces, if he hath any, be choked up with sloth or formality? The more any member is used, the stronger it is. The right hand, which is our working hand, hath more activity than the left, that is, used less. A weakness will certainly invade the powers of this, thy lazy soul, which though thou perceivest not as thou sittest in thy chair of sloth, will appear when thou risest and thinkest to go forth in any solemn duty as thou wert wont to do. But then thou wilt find with Samson that thou hast lost thy strength in the lap of sloth and negligence. A weak soul is as unfit for the exercise of extraordinary prayer as a slothful one. The only way to gain strength in order to its due performance is not to neglect the ordinary duty. Secondly, as it will indispose thee for this solemn duty, so it is a bad symptom concerning thy spiritual state itself. Grace works uniformly and discovers a comely proportion in its actions. Perhaps you may see the son of a prince on some high day in richer or more glorious apparel than on another, but you shall never find him in beggarly clothes. Still he will be clad as becomes a king's son. Possibly you may see the Christian come forth in an extraordinary duty with more enlargement of affections in prayer and all his graces raised to a higher glory than ordinary, but you shall never find him with his grace laid aside. Still the true saint will declare his high birth by his extraordinary course. He will not live in the neglect of ordinary duties and cast off communion with God in his daily walking. It is the brand of a hypocrite to have his devotion come by fits, to seem for zeal like an angel at one time and live like an atheist at another. Surely grace is never so unlike itself. It is ill living in this that miser's house who hath never any good meat on his table, but when he makes a feast, and that is very seldom, or with him that upon an occasion hath a day of prayer, but starves himself and family in their daily fare. Never think of meddling with this extraordinary duty till thou injurest thyself to the ordinary, and taketh more care in thy daily walking with God. Secondly, there is a more close and intimate preparation required, and this I call actual preparation. It is true, he that is conscientious and careful in the ordinary exercise of religion hath a great advantage over him that neglects them or is loose in them, for his heart must needs stand in a nearer disposition to this extraordinary service, as he that is up and hath his clothes on is more ready to go on his master's errand than he that is asleep in his bed. Yet besides his care in our daily walking, there need some further pains to be taken with his head to raise him into such a frame as may comport with this solemn service. Now, meditation is the great instrument thou art to use in this preparatory work. Allow thyself some considerable portion of time for thy retirement before the day of extraordinary prayer, wherein thou mayest converse with thy own heart. This cannot be done in a crowd, neither must it be left to the time of engagement in extraordinary duty. We cannot do both duties together. Betake thyself, therefore, to thy closet. In the first place, call thy thoughts off the world, and as much as possible, clear thy soul of all that is foreign to the work thou art about. Now, the more effectually to bring thy heart to a holy seriousness and gather thy thoughts together, lay before thee the grand importance of the approaching service. Thou art going to stand before the great God, and that very near, in an extraordinary duty, wherein thou wilt either sanctify or profane his reverent name in a high degree, and act and accordingly art to expect his love or wrath in some choice blessing or a dreadful curse to be the issue and result of thy undertaking. Gird the loins of thy mind with some such awful apprehensions as these, as natural fear makes the spirits retire from the outward parts of the body to the heart, so this holy fear of miscarrying in so solemn a duty would be a means to call thy thoughts from all exterior carnal objects and fix them upon the duty in hand. In thy fear will I worship, Psalms 5:7. As the sculpture is on the seal, so will the print on the wax be. If the fear of God be deeply engraven on thy heart, there is no doubt but it will make a suitable impression on the duty thou performest. A few particulars I shall propound for thy thoughts in this preparatory work. End of chapter 48.